Good to give thanks, and I'm reminded we give thanks even though we don't always feel like it. Feeling thankful is one thing, giving thanks is sometimes another, and feelings often come after the actions of giving thanks. And the message on pretty much Psalm 103, one song we sang, Blessings All Mine with 10,000 Besides, that was that Great Is Thy Faithfulness song, and I think that's really the story of the Christian life, 10,000 blessings, 100 trials every week. But God is faithful and good to us. And Psalm 103 says, give praise to God for all his benefits. That's kind of what we've been doing tonight in sharing. David said, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, or everything that's within me, praise his holy name. And the one Bible commentator said, gratitude's a quality that makes us stick out as believers. Gratitude, that's the pilgrim way. Didn't have a lot. They were realized they were passing through one country to the next, one phase of their life to the next. But being grateful had them stick out. I tried to be grateful one time where we came from. We knew some people who worked at McDonald's. And there was Sue, the manager, Kathy behind the counter, and Ray with the burgers. And I would go in and, you know, do the eating thing. And sometimes I would stop and say, Sue, the French fries were extra good today. Thank you. She would kind of look at me funny. And Kathy, the coffee was terrific, you know. And if I really wanted to stretch it, Ray, the hamburger, extra good job on the hamburger. And there, you know, be quiet, you know, get out of here, get almost hooted out of McDonald's for being grateful. But it was, you're supposed to just rush through life. Don't take time to give thanks. Well, giving thanks, that's good. Being grateful is good. The commentator went on to say, you and I live in a world that's obsessed with achieving more and more and getting more and more. But when we're grateful, we don't talk about what we achieved or what we got for ourselves. We talk about what we've received, what we've received. And that's the grace of God, the gift of God. This is the list that David had that he was grateful about. He said, he mentions the forgiveness of sins. We could start off with that one. But think of some others that we've received and we did not achieve or get on our own merit. There's the forgiveness of sins. There's eternal life with God. There's health. There's heaven. There's church life. There's family and friends. There's the Bible. What do you have that you did not receive? Paul asked that question to the Corinthian church. And so you and I didn't achieve those blessings. We received them as gifts. So it's amazing grace. What we have is a gift from God. And we could rejoice in him. But David said, everything that is within me, bless his holy name or praise his holy name. Think about what you do in life that you throw your whole heart into. when we're exhausted, we throw ourselves wholeheartedly into sleep. Just collapse and say, oh, Lord, give me rest. But what do we do with all our inmost being? God is the kind of relationship he invites us to. It's a wholehearted thanks or a wholehearted praise. In fact, if we give half-hearted praise or half-hearted thanks, then God says he doesn't receive that. He knows he's not. We haven't connected with him yet. If we do the half-hearted thing. We have a game in our house that we play. We're thankful for it. Basically helps us spend time together as opposed to be a tremendous intellectual challenge. It's called catchphrase. If you ever play catchphrase, you don't need a lot of people. But you're supposed to name what is the word on the little machine. And I noticed when we play a catchphrase, the ones who throw themselves into it the most, of course, do the best and seem to have a lot of joy about them. Normally, there's one of the four of us who are not, you know, don't have the feeling of playing. And while we play, we go like this, and we. And sometimes when that occurs, I'm usually the minister of rebuke at that point. Come on, put your heart into it. If you don't put your heart into it, you're going to mess everything up. You're not trying hard. Let's go. And I find that when I'm busy rebuking the one who's not, doesn't have her heart into it, I'm right in line, not having my heart into it. So in our culture that does is not saturated with gratitude, what we want to do is still be grateful as people. And not say, why aren't those pagans grateful out there? If we're grateful, they'll be grateful. And we're an example at that point. That's what the pilgrims were to the Native Americans who they invited to join them. And the Native Americans blessed them with a lot of different things, how to grow corn and all that. So have a wholehearted praise to God. C.S. Lewis wrote about wholeheartedness, wholehearted thanks and intensity. He said, our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak, even what we throw our hearts into. He said, we're half-hearted people fooling around with sin and ambitions when everlasting joy is offered to us. So God's offered to us. And he says, we're far too easily pleased. So it's a powerful quality of the Lord that he says, give me your whole heart in praise and thanks. Jeremiah 29 says the same thing. You'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. God's the kind of God, again, we're just not going to be close to him unless we really want to. Hebrews 11:6, God meets those who diligently seek him. So that diligence thing. And if we're not wholehearted toward God, we can ask him for an undivided heart. Psalm 86 says, Lord, give me an undivided heart that I can praise you. So just an encouragement for giving thanks to the Lord with all our heart. Count the blessings at the end of the day. Somebody shared recently, before they go to bed, instead of saying, besides, okay, Lord, what can I do differently tomorrow that I messed up on today? They say, now, how did God bless me today? They fall asleep counting the blessings because they're very numerous. But David's list of things he praised God for I'm going to concentrate on forgiveness and compassion. He also says he redeems our life from the pit. And that's salvation. But first thing he mentions is forgiveness. We praise you, Lord, for forgiveness. Because we're forgiven people. Our debt has been canceled. We kind of went through that as a church. You know, 14 years of good offerings to praise God. And look what he did. He forgives us, seeing us at our most sinful. I think we have three experiences of forgiveness as believers. The first is that we're forgiven past tense. He forgave us all our sins, past, present, and future. And also we have the experience of being forgiven on a daily basis, and we'll be forgiven in the future when Jesus says, welcome home, when we go to heaven. But I thought of the example of an 18-year-old boy who's backing up in his driveway. He hits his mom's car while the mother's in the car. So she's sitting there, and she sees him coming. And she says, he is going to hit me. And I, you know, it's bad, but I forgive him. Before it happens, I forgive him. He's not a good driver yet. So bang. He bangs the car. He waits for a minute or two, gets out of the car and says, oh, Mom, I'm so sorry. She says, I forgive you, dear. So he's forgiven in the present. He was forgiven before he even did the thing. He's forgiven in the present. And she says, and son, I'll always forgive you when you mess up and go the wrong way. And the Lord brings that forgiveness for us so we can be clean before him, assured of our relationship, and motivated to follow him well. He forgave us all our sins. And I always thought, being raised in a religious setting where the wrath of God was definitely on your neck on a daily basis, I really appreciate the forgiveness of sins. And I've always thought, if God didn't do anything for us other than forgive us our sins, we would be so delighted and grateful. But to thank him for the forgiveness of sins. The second thing I pick out from the passage is to thank God for his love and compassion. Love and compassion. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And we need that as people. That I think that draws us to love others in fellowship and things like that. That helps us personalize John 3:16 to know his love. God says, I so loved you that I gave my one and only son. So history changes because God would love people. Put your name there. Paul said, know how high, long, wide, and deep is the love of Christ. Why should he love me so? Why should my Savior to Calvary go? That's a tremendous song. And people around us in our own hearts and even in church life, three questions always pop up in one way or another. Number one, am I loved? We all have these signs on our head. Am I loved? Do I belong? And am I important? And God, because he's loving, he doesn't require us to come up with solutions to those questions on our own. If we tried to come up with the solutions to those questions on our own, we'd say, am I loved? I don't know. I hope 10 people say hi to me tonight, or I certainly am not going to feel loved. Am I important? I don't know. I better get a real important job, then I'll feel important. Do I belong? That's a feeling thing. But God would answer that question for us. We're loved, we're important, we belong to him. To him, and then, therefore, we're at home in his kingdom. We're at home on what he has created. His whole wonderful plan that here he's created. And so, the love of God that touches our hearts. And then the compassion of God that can change our life. We thank him for that. Compassion, the first compassion we all experience is probably at home. Probably had at least one parent to pay us some attention, hopefully. And the word compassion means with you, with emotion. With passion. With you, with emotion. God said he's with you, with emotion. He gets emotional about us. You know, I don't, in certain public settings, like when we're having food tomorrow, most of us, I know who will get emotional and who won't. The emotional ones will get emotional and the rest of us will be, let's not do this because we just want to eat. on the inside, God, we can feel that compassion for one another. And God's emotion is with us. He's emotional about us in a good way, not out of control. Imagine if we were raised, I mentioned the parent model. Imagine if we were raised by perfect earthly parents. they would always give us the love, the compassion, the discipline we needed all the time. What would be our chances of being healthy, on the ball, spiritually in tune people? Pretty good. Okay, because we saw that model from a young age and trained us up, and chances are when you train a person that way, when they're people are old, they're not going to stray from it. So that's a great thing. But none of us have had that, except when we met Christ. All of a sudden, we had the perfect, loving, compassionate Father in heaven come and say, now I'm going to raise you. I'm going to raise you. With the perfect, Lord, give us that perfect parenting. So we have a great opportunity to feel the compassion of Christ, to gain maturity, and then to be compassionate people toward others. We're crowned with love and compassion. And we're so grateful for that, that we could have security and confidence in Christ and to begin to love others from a position of strength. Because we're all loved by the greatest loved one in the world. And that compassion can bring healing and building up in all our relationships. I go back to the pilgrims, and I'm going to visit your house here with the connection. And when the pilgrims met, they said, we don't have a lot. God just brought us through the biggest trial in our lives, but we have him. Thank you, God. We're going to be compassionate and try to get to know these Native Americans. They've been good to us through the common grace of God. Their lives were changed because of that compassion. What they didn't do with those American Indians at that point was say, we feel divided from you. We worship Jesus. You guys don't yet. You know, we're not even sure you should eat with us, but we'll let you today. They didn't say, we're going to work out all the treaties that have bugged us so far. We're going to work it out right at this mealtime. Okay, they chose not to do that. They said, we're just going to eat together and grow the best we can. God would bless later, and then people would get themselves in trouble later. But the compassion they had was from Christ, and it made a good kickoff for Thanksgiving and eventually for the whole nation. Now, when we go to our homes tomorrow or in the next number of weeks, Christmas and such, could you have compassion on the people that you're with and not make it a time to say, I'm here to work out the problems that we've been having for the last couple of years now, or whatever the case may be. Could you have compassion in your heart, meet them, love them, be emotional about them in a positive way? Because that's the way God is to us. And you'll be like one of those pilgrims again, loving people. Because we have to replay that scene, not just on Thanksgiving Day and not just when we're with our families and in-laws, but when we're with all kinds of different people. We could say, are we going to be crowned with love and compassion? And for the spiritual health of others, are we going to say, I'm here to see how much I disagree with you about. That will not, in the long run, bring people to the gospel. God will build bridges and call to repentance, but he'll certainly use love and compassion as a big part of it. So I think Thanksgiving isn't it ironic that it's so far, although you hear other things, so far it's the one time of celebration where believers and unbelievers can sit down together and say, let's give thanks because we are blessed. And let's, you know, as much as we can, share Christ with others, because that's a good thing. I think that was on the pilgrims' hearts, and that can be on our hearts as we thank God. But that's, I'm thankful for forgiveness and for love and compassion, which I have to both repeatedly need in my life and repeatedly pass on to others. And God's gracious to do that for us. Our needs are finite. His supply is limited. Just to remember that about the Lord. And we're going to close the service in a song. This is probably a song not as well known as the others, but it's in the hymn book. It is a traditional Thanksgiving song. So Jim will get us rolling and the singers will help us. Rejoice, you pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks, and sing. Ties in with Dave Slavka's testimony, choice to rejoice theme over here. So I think you'll like the song, and it is very traditional. Let's stand and praise God together.